Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour, Wednesday, May the 4th, and time for us to come together, explore the Word of God and fellowship one with another. And as always, I thank God for the opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Our lesson tonight is Jesus had to die so that we may live. Jesus had to die, y'all, for us to be able to live a life eternally. I'm coming from the scriptures of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And when we come back, we're going to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. Everybody, be blessed. Open up your hearts and your mind for the word of God. God speak to us through his word. And it's what we do with the word once we hear it that makes a difference in our lives. So I'm going to play the song, and we're going to come back, and our dear intercessor, Sister Pam, is going to bring us to God's throne of grace, and then we'll expound upon the words of God together tonight.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blooms.
He that has begun
a great work. Is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hoped for a harvest.
legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture.
Great work. You know, you have to believe it to be able to achieve it and realize how God is operating in your life, how God is taking you from danger seen and unseen, how God is holding back weapons you deserve, how God is helping you to take care of the matters of your life that you need to take care of. We got to realize, first of all, that if we wake up and we have bread, it's because of God. God loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. And you see, if we don't realize these things, you know, it could make us sometime want to hold our hand down, our head down. Sometimes it can make us feel overwhelmed and frustrated. You know, sometimes we can't see the blessings for looking at the storm. Sometimes we think we can't go forward when God has really given us the strength and we're the only thing in our way. Sometimes we wonder if God hears our cry and understands our plea. But we know that God is everywhere at the same time. The scripture says he's our present help. So that means God is with you every step of the way. Every setback, every disappointment, every failure, every thing that you could imagine, the things you don't want in your life, and you're looking and crying out to God to help you to help yourself. As the song said, God is doing a great work in us, y'all. We have to realize it to be able to give him the honor and the glory for what he's done, doing, and promised to do. Because if we don't, we're going to miss it. God is doing a great work in all of our lives. But we have to believe it to be able to achieve it. And at this time, our intercessor, our sister Pam, is going to go to God's throne of grace tonight. And on behalf of the prayer request that came in, on behalf of the sisters and brothers on the line, on behalf of people all around the world with situations, circumstances, adversities, trials, and tribulations, she's going to intercede as she take on the image of Christ, because Christ is sitting at the right hand of his Father interceding in our behalf. She's going to pray for those who need prayer. And if it's anybody who would like to be placed on the prayer line tonight or know someone that needs prayer, God is extending the opportunity for you to call out that person's name and they could be added on the prayer line. And I want y'all to know Sister Pam come every first Wednesday of the month. But all through the month, all year round, she labor for that prayer list. And she's constantly praying for those names that have been called out. Not only Sister Pam, but any warrior, prayer warrior on the line should be if they're not doing it. So if anyone would like to list someone on a prayer line, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll let you speak, and Sister Tama added to her list. Minister Cloud, your line is open.
Thank you very much. I would like to put my son, Tori, T-O-R-I, Stepper, on the prayer list. He's going to have surgery to have his right kidney removed. And we're thanking God for speedy recovery and healing and no chemotherapy and none of that other stuff. We thank you, God, in advance for total healing and deliverance.
What that
Amen.
Name was? Tori. Tori, T-O-R-I, Scepter.
Chester.
Scepter, S-C-E-P-T-E-R.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Caller, your number is 2376. Your line is open. You can make your request.
Yes, my name is. Yes, my name is Sandra Bridges. I'm just calling for prayer for myself, and ask y'all to keep me in y'all prayer. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Sandra Bridges. Anyone else? Yeah, Bridges, B-R-I-D-G-E-S.
Okay.
Anyone else? There's no one else who knows someone who needs prayer. Well, I would like to put Roderick McGee name on the list. He's a young man that's in jail, in prison. And he was found guilty of his crime. And the day they had his sentencing, and I was asked to come and speak in his behalf, and I did go. And I was able to be in the courtroom and just see our young men sitting up there with those iron suits on, blinders on their face, can't see the light for the darkness. Lord, we need prayer. We need prayer. Sometimes all we have, and mostly all we have, is prayer. Because we can't make anyone change their lives. We can't make anyone do right. We can't make anybody do anything. But we can pray. And God has given us this opportunity at this time to even just give someone name that you know is in need of prayer. That's a beautiful thing. So is there anyone else would like to add anyone on a prayer list? You could do so at this time. If no one has anyone else, we can, Sister Pam, I turn everything over to you, and you could come to us any way you feel fit tonight, any way the Holy Spirit is leading you. You have control at this time.
Thank you, Minister Diane. Good evening, everybody. I pray that all is well with everyone this evening. Today is May the 4th, 2022, the first Wednesday of May, and the prayer list as Anika, Dre, Diane McBride and family, Azariah Hurd, Minister Paula Cloud, Vanessa Humphrey, Florida Kasia, the Bridges family, Shanika Clark, Ayana, the William and Washington family, Genario Ashalise, Bridget Jones and family, Jada Porter, Aiden, Mr. Dickey, Sharon, Shug, the Robinson family, Khalil Williams, the family of Kevin Poole, the family of Brandy and Ellie Barry Wilson, the three youngsters that was drowned in the Mississippi River. Quine Charles, Rogers Laquez, Brandon Joseph, John McGee, the Davis family, Deborah and Cheryl Ferguson, on the passing of their mother, Beverly Ferguson, Tori Sester, Sandra Bridges, and Roderick McGee. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go? My God, my Father, my Lord, my Savior. I thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you for tonight for life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for another Wednesday night Bible study. I thank you for another night of worship and fellowship, one with another. Thanking you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. I pray you continue to use her in a mighty way, bringing forth your word each and every Wednesday night. Keep her crowned. Keep her head crowned with the wisdom and with the knowledge that comes with you, from you. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night in May to give thanks and to lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer. Lord, I just thank you tonight for life. I thank you for all that you've done, and I thank you for what you still to do for us. Father God, I ask you to just lift up each and every one of my brothers and sisters that's on the prayer list. They all come, Lord Jesus, seeking for prayer and seeking for comfort. Lord Jesus, we, as intercessors on their behalf, humbly ask that you supply all of their needs, which you and only you can do. We know that it's in your will and not our will that your will be done and their needs be supplied. And it's also in your timing, Lord Jesus, and not ours. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your love. We give you all the praise, all glory, and honor. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, amen, and thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. And thank
you,
Paula Cloud and Sandra Bridges, who understood the need of prayer and confessed it with their mouth and asked that the body of Christ pray with them in their time of trouble. God believes and has given us the tool of prayer where we could go to him and let our petitions be known, where we could go to him and tell him our needs, and we could go to him and let our petitions be known. God has given us the ability to pray and be able to come to him for ourselves. We don't have to go to the priest in the confession box. We don't have to pray to St. Michael, St. Luke for protection or whatever those saints were supposed to provide for us. When Jesus died, Jesus bridged the gap. God allowed his righteousness to be with us. Hallelujah. God allowed those who accept Jesus Christ receive enough righteousness of God that we could go before God in a righteous state, not by our righteousness, but the righteousness that has been given to us by his son, death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And our lesson tonight, the title is, Jesus Had to Die So That All of Us Could Live Here on Earth with Success and all the way through eternity. And if you had a chance to look at the scriptures, Romans 8 and verses 1 through 5, you knew it was talking about condemnation. So the reason I chose to do this little intro, a background, because many times people ask me, Sister Diane, what do that mean, no condemnation? Well, if I explain to you how or why we're not condemned now, to make the scripture real, I had to go back and tell you how it was achieved for us to not be condemned any longer if we love the Lord. So I picked the title, Jesus Had to Go Back to His Father. No, Jesus had to die so that we may all live. And I'm starting the intro at this time. Jesus had to die to go back to his Father, to prepare a place for us. You see, John 14 and 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, for if it was not so, I would have told you. This is Jesus talking. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, this lets us know that we are being prepared for that prepared place. Jesus is coming back for his church. And I pray that each and every one of us realize that we are the church, the body of Christ. You see, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, we are members of the body of Christ. And 13 says, for by one spirit we was baptized into that one body, whether we were Jews or Gentiles, whether we was bound or free, and have been all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The Holy Spirit is preparing us for our eternal life while we are waiting for Jesus' return. See, when we hear that God is working things out for our good and God is asking us to do this or do that through his word, he's preparing us. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And when the scripture said Jews or Gentiles, I want everybody to know that a Jew is a Jew. And a Gentile is anything other than a Jew. So I want y'all to know when you're reading scriptures and stuff and you see Gentiles, it's talking about Jews. But this scripture lets us know that the promise was for the Jews. God elected them to be his promised people. But at some time, he opened the door for everybody because that's the kind of God he is. And that's why they say if we accept Christ, we belong. We goes into the body of Christ as well, because we are adopted and we became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. You see, once Adam sinned, we were all placed on death row for the wages of sin is death. A human sacrifice that was sinless without spots and blemish had to be made for mankind. Hallelujah. God allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh and incarnated as Jesus Christ. That's why we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's how the Trinity becomes one and three persons. God was manifested in the flesh and sacrificed himself on the cross for us. You see, if you go to the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. For those who doesn't know, the Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living word. So he's saying in the beginning was the word, talking about Jesus, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. You see, when you hear somebody say, or you say it with your own mouth, that it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. We see here in this scripture that all things was made by Jesus. You remember when God was talking in the book of Genesis, he was saying, let us, talking about his spirit and his son. And he gave Jesus the authority because Jesus was going to be the one that paid the price. You see, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the verdict, not guilty, and become free from sin. It is clear that the believer's pursuit of God doesn't stop with salvation. Some people can't understand the living here on earth because they have all of their focus on eternal life. God wants us to just think about eternal life, but he also wants us to think about how we live and what he's doing for us here and now and keep hope alive for our salvation. You see, that is why each one that is saved should ask themselves the question, I'm saved, now what? Many people got saved 20 years ago, and boy, it's Christian growth. They may be in the same position they were 20 years ago when they got saved. But you should sometime ask the question, I'm saved, now what? And when you say that, now what, you're saying, what's my responsibilities? How do I grow? How do I mature? How do I stop drinking milk and begin to eat meat? You see, our salvation continue as each of us is sanctified. Sanctified means to be made holy. You see, as we persist in following him, we should grow. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Because as the song person sung on tonight, it say God is doing a great work in us, y'all. And it say that they won't prosper, not because of what we could do, but because what God is doing. Jesus paid the price, all to him we owe. We are no longer condemned, y'all. And it leads me right into the scripture, Romans, the 8th chapter, first verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I want y'all to know the flesh is what the Bible calls the worldly standard. There's the flesh of the eyes, the lust, the flesh of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you are still walking daily in the standards of the world and not embracing the standards of the spirit, you need to evaluate yourself and make some changes. You see, to truly understand the scripture, we must examine what the word condemn means. Webster Dictionary says it's sentenced to a particular punishment, especially death, officially declared unfit for use. Before Jesus saved us, we was unfit for use. An unfavorable, adverse judgment that came upon us because of sin indicates strong disapproval of. You condemned. Sentenced to pronounce to be guilty. I then went to the Bible dictionary, and it reads, an act of pronouncing someone guilty after weighing the evidence. The evidence was read. Adam and Eve in, everyone born after that was born with a nature. So the evidence is telling us a story. The evidence is letting us know. The evidence is real. The evidence has been turned in, and we all found guilty. And we had to receive the penalty of sin, which is death, and wind up in eternal damnation. And there was nothing we could do about it in and of ourselves to save ourselves. Oh, but God looked at the situation, which was not how he planned it. So he made a way out of no way for you and for me. You see what he did, as John wrote in 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his only begotten son to die so that we may live eternally. The whole world has the opportunity to be saved. So when it say God so loved the world, so the whole world has the opportunity to be saved. But I come to tell you tonight that not everyone will accept the free gift of salvation. But the opportunity is there. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. And God said in the scripture, he knew everybody would not accept it. But he put the opportunity there because that's the kind of God we serve. You see, he offered grace by faith in his son for our justification. You see, Jesus, for the condemnation of sin, he paid the price for us. Not when we start getting it right, but while we were yet wallowing in our sin, Jesus came, gave us the opportunity to take us in. You see, we were justified by God. We received redemption unto salvation because Christ's blood took away the sins once and for all. And where there is no sin, there is no condemnation. Jesus took away the sins, your sins, my sins. So there's no condemnation. You see, we are saved by grace, unearned, undeserved favor from God through faith and complete trust in Christ alone and his finished work. Don't let nobody tell you because you're not circumcised, you're not going to be saved. Don't let nobody tell you if you don't do A, B, and C, you won't be saved. Don't let nobody tell you because you slipped up and did E, F, G, you're not going to be saved. Don't let nobody tell you that because people have a sense of making things up as they go. And then the other thing that comes into play is religion. Religion is man-made, and man makes up their rules. And if that's what they teach the people, that's what they begin to believe, and they condemn all others who don't believe the same thing they do. You see, when we accept Christ, our verdict is not guilty, period. It's almost like you say, let them go. They're free. What did those words mean to you since you were on death row? Only those who accept Christ can be found not guilty. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice, a sin offering for our sins. Jesus died and became the only sacrifice for mankind that could do it. You see, the fact is that the whole world was on death row, justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's laws. You see, without Jesus, we have no hope at all, because we could not, nor would we be able to do it on our own. But thanks be to God. He has declared you and me not guilty once we accept his son. Jesus has provided no condemnation for believers, and we must now learn how to stop condemning ourselves, and most of all, condemning others. Verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Jesus Christ had made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit of life, the law that Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the law, but to fulfill it. So he has fulfilled the law and has brought us grace. So the scripture says, for the law of the spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the spirit of life produces life because it has no condemnation. God has given us the spirit of life, which is the Holy Spirit, to empower us to do his will and allow his will to be manifested in our lives. You see, there's no condemnation for our sins previously committed and those that will be committed. We all fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says anyone who said they don't sin is a liar, and the truth ain't in them. And I hear people say that all the time. They really got it 100% together. But many times people pick what they believe are large sins and figure only those count. But the word of God tells us that sin is sin. And it's easier for someone to look at the sins of others before they sometimes can look at what they're doing or let the things they do just go on by because they're doing it. And if they're doing it in the dark, they think no one knows it, so it doesn't count. Come on, y'all. Saved. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans, the same chapter, because I asked you to read the whole chapter. But in that same chapter, verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or power, hallelujah, are nothing present or nothing to come. Verse 39, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, I believe plenty of people read that, but they don't understand what it means. And you see, when you don't truly understand that, you go into a situation of condemning. That's why some people who turn away for a while, as they say, backslide or whatever, they're condemning themselves because now they figure that they're out of the reach of salvation, and they condemn themselves. Because if you don't think you're saved, you're condemning yourself to hell. The scripture is letting us know that nothing can separate you from the love of God. You got to believe it to achieve it. I taught new members at my church for a lot of years, and y'all heard me say this before. And many times there would be people that was, already supposedly a part of the body of Christ. And one question I asked everybody when they came in, the first thing I asked them, are you saved? And many of them say, I was saved. I'm not saved anymore. That's why I'm coming to see you this morning. So I got to tell them the plan of salvation. I got to read Romans 8, 38 and 39. I got to read them to let them know what the power that God has done and what Jesus has done and how the Holy Ghost has sealed them and how Jesus is always waiting for you to return. That's why he put in the Bible about the prodigal son. He showed us that even though you go off and do your own thing And when you hit rock bottom, you come back to the Father. And he says, I'm waiting for you with wide open arms. But many times people see people who may be going astray, hallelujah, backsliding, and they become like Jonah. You see, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and pray for the people because he believed they would have heard the good news and turn around. He thought they was too evil to deserve that blessing from God. And that's how some of the people feel about some people in the body of Christ when they're slipping off. All they do is talk about them and shoo-shoo about them and escalate what they're doing and bring it to, you know, the opening, you know, as if they clean as a whistle. You see, that scripture is letting us know we no longer have to live in fear, uncertainties, unbelief of our eternal life. And I don't want anybody to get it twisted that plenty of people don't believe that Jesus paid the price in full and we are no longer condemned because they say that's a watered down word, that it can't be that easy. But God never said he was going to make it hard. The hard part was paid by Jesus. And I'm not giving, because the scriptures say God forbid, I'm not giving anyone a license to sin. Because you see, when you've been touched by God, hallelujah, even though you might not do everything you want to do when you want to do it for God, but you never take your heart away from it. And you always have a desire to want to become better. Don't live in fear and uncertainties and disbelief of your eternal life. When you accepted Christ, or you act like you accepted Christ, and you need to know the difference. Did you give Christ your heart? Did you surrender unto God and you confess with your mouth you needed a Savior? Then you were saved. You see, that Jesus' death gave us victory. And Jesus took the sting out of death. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Hallelujah, y'all. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You're not doing good to be saved, because after you're saved, it's what gives you the ability and the will to want to do good. You see, doing good is not before your salvation, but it's after your salvation. So you already had salvation before you got start doing good. The scripture said, while we were yet in our sin, Jesus took us in. God said, come as you are, whatever state you in, not with any clothes you want to wear, because he knew our condition. He said, come and allow me to help you to become better. God knew it wouldn't happen without him. So you're not doing good to be saved, because if you confess to be a Christian, you should be saved. But because of all that Christ has done for you, you should want to serve, obey, love, trust, and give God glory. Because he's such an awesome God, and it's only our reasonable service. You see, our life is a gift from God. But what we do with our life should be a gift to God. And the first three, for what the law could not do in that it was weak. The law could never save nobody, y'all. The law wasn't intended to save anybody. The law was given by God to be temporal until the Savior comes. The law was given by God to point sin. You got to realize that there wasn't always the law. So if there's no law, come on now, there's no if there was no law, then what was the penalty? A law has to point out the wrong. A point out what's right and you do the opposite to say it's wrong. So understand the law. You see, the law could not do, for it was weak through the flesh. But God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's why Jesus had to be born of a woman. Because to save mankind, it had to be by a man. But it had to be a perfect man without spots and blemish. God allowed himself to be born in the Virgin Mary, and he incarnated in a hallelujah as Jesus Christ. The scripture says God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You see, Galatians 3:19 says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed would come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through the angels by the hand of a mediator. You see, God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. You see, before the law, there was no transgression. That's what I was talking about. And the people couldn't go before God because of sin. God wanted fellowship with his people. So he sent his only begotten son in the likeness of sinful flesh for the sin, who condemned sin in the flesh. You see, Jesus, as I said in my title, had to die because the law had no power to save or forgive. It only covered the sins of mankind temporarily. You see, God is an invisible God, but was made visible in his Son. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. John 14:9, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time. He said, anyone who sees me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus had to die. No more animal sacrifices. There was no need for no more. No more circumcisions made by hand, because our heart needed to be circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Nothing that we could do in and of ourselves because of our unrighteousness. It is a free gift from God. Jesus' death was the substitution. The righteous for the unrighteous. The innocent for the guilty. The perfect for the corrupt. On the cross, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, took the punishment we deserve for our sins. And after that, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't serve a God like that? He did not deserve to die, but he willingly took our place and experienced death for us so that we could live eternally. And that's my lesson for tonight. any comments, questions, or concerns, you could speak them at this time. Anyone? Well, if there's nothing else that anyone would like to say, a comment on the Word of God, what we could do at this time is have our benediction. If someone would like to do the benediction, you could press the one button on your phone. Minister Mackey, since we have time and there's no questions, I want to ask you, can you give us, well, come any way you want, but give us a benediction and maybe a verse or two of a song to lead us out on tonight?
Yes, I can.
Your mic is open.
If you just allow me one more time to tell you that Jesus is a friend of mine. Each day I press my way so that I won't go astray, praying that God would guide me every step of the way. See, I love Jesus more today than I did on yesterday. He woke me up early this morning, started me on my way. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love him more and more each day. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. More today than I did on yesterday. He woke me up early this morning and started me all on my way. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love him more and more and more each day.
God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for another Wednesday, Lord God. We thank you for your word that comes forth, O God, because there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And God, we thank you, Lord God, that your word declares whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. And God, we come thanking you, Lord God, for those that are on the prayer list. Oh, God, that you're meeting every need, that you're healing everybody, Lord God. God, I thank you for your performing miracles. I thank you because your word declares that you call those things that be not as though they were. And God, I ask that you would touch and comfort, oh, God, the hearts of the Turner family, oh, God, the Marsh family, Lord, and the William Prowse family, Lord. I ask that you would touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus and all of those who have loved ones that has passed on, oh, God, throughout this week, throughout last week, and those that still have ones, loved ones to lay to rest. God, I ask that you would strengthen, oh, God. I ask that you would strengthen my sister Nikki, oh, God, who has to lay her grandmother to rest. God, you are a good God, and you do bind up broken hearts, God, and you give the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And God, I'm thanking you, Lord God, for those services that go forth. I'm thanking you for the souls that's going to hear a word and that it would prick the heart of them, God, and they would come and cry out to you, Abba, Father, Lord. And I'm thanking you in advance for the souls that you're adding to the kingdom daily, because your word declares you add to the church daily such as to be saved. And God, we thank you for those that you're calling out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, Lord God, for the body of Christ, for the household of faith. God, I thank you most of all because your word declares that I ought to look on the things of others more than the things of myself. And I'm thanking you, Lord God, for that young boy and that young girl that you're delivering out the hands of the enemy, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are thinking about committing suicide, that you're healing their very mind right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for that son or daughter that ran away from home, Lord, that you're pricking their hearts and sending them back, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your blood. I thank you that you purchased us with your blood. I thank you that we have been bought with a price, and it is the precious blood of Jesus. And God, I thank you because I know you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and your word declares it's according to the power that worketh in us. And God, I thank you that you're able to do it, oh God. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen, my sister. That's our program for tonight. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to go before God's people. And I always remind you guys that it's not because I'm so good. It's not because I'm so kind. But it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And I thank you all for taking time out of your schedule. And we meet up every Wednesday night at 8:30. It is really a blessing and it's a beautiful thing. And God is pleased with your faithfulness, with your obedience, with your desire to mature in the growing grace and the knowledge of him now and forevermore. And that's it for tonight. So I tell everybody good night. And it is my desire that everyone have a nice, sweet, restful sleep tonight. In Jesus' name, good night.